That sounder, nothing to do with the previous story. It is because we are joined here in the studio by Pam Heminger, the mayor of Chapel Hill, for our weekly check-in. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice outside and the weather's cooperating. We're all good.
That's pretty good. So, okay, so since we're all just getting this now.
I'm just stunned. When you
thoughts
talk,
about
stunned.
Margaret Spellings.
Yeah, no, she's been very inclusive. She's invited us to events. She's been out there working with kids all across all the state school systems, and she's been really pro-kid, is all I can tell you, trying to get more families who haven't had opportunities to send their children to UNC system schools out there doing that and improving STEM work. I mean, she's been fabulous. So.
What is the UNC system president, like the identity of that person who holds that office and the work that they do or don't do? What does that mean for Chapel Hill as a community?
Well, she's here. She lives here in Chapel Hill. So
First things first.
Yeah, and holds events here. And I've gotten to meet her at many different events that I've been invited to, but just been really impressed with the work she's done to make the whole 16 school system come together and realize that it's in Carolina's best interest, the state's best interest to educate all of our kids to the highest level possible and to make that opportunity available to everyone out there, regardless of ability to pay. So there's been some fabulous work done as far as trying to increase that with things like the Carolina Covenant program that we have here, and to there's a new one out there now to reach for the blue sky something out there.
Yeah,
and they're just really trying to find creative ways. But she interacts with students very well. I've watched her doing that. I've seen videos of her doing that, and she's been out there and she's been true to her word of caring about kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll keep following that, obviously. Let's bring it back to Chapel Hill, because you had how long was
a
it? 5 hours.
Meeting. Well, we started
at
5:30.
So yes. Oh. It was 7 hour town council meeting last night
really,
with a bunch of different items on the agenda.
Yes.
Though it was kind of packed.
It was kind of packed, and we had probably more on than it was realistic. We love to really try to work things out and figure out if there's a way to meet in there. I love the fact we bring in different perspectives. We had a lot of different kinds of things on our agenda last night, so that was interesting, too. We worked with the Kids Zoo to see if there's a better fit in Southern Village to incorporate it to be part of that area, and not just sitting there by itself on the parcel for, as someone said, right in, right out, and part of it was economic development, but finding a home for Kids Zoo is important to us.
So try to get them further into Southern
Village?
Yeah, into
Southern
Village.
Yeah, maybe there's a better way to park it and use transit and all those kinds of things. So we want to look, instead of just looking at that one parcel, open up and say, what if we made sure it integrated better into the, and people could take advantage of things on Market Street, eat in the restaurant, shop there. So we were looking at that. This morning I laughed. We had our first field trip of the school year with third graders from Rashkus came in.
Nice.
They come into town hall. So we did a mock council meeting with me and over at the fire station and the Public Works interactive video. I always love the kids have interesting questions and want to know about local government. And I always ask, how do we get our money? I have to laugh because they have all kinds of different ways of how the town gets its money.
I was going to say, how did they think you get your money?
Well, bake sale usually comes up, but
okay.
We don't do that.
Because that might be not a bad idea. At a certain point.
So we talk about taxes, and we try to talk about different kinds of taxes, and that becomes an interesting conversation with them. They understand what income tax is mostly, and some of them know what sales tax is, and some of them know what property tax is, but we talk about fees for service, and we talk about governmental pass-throughs for things, and so that we don't really hold bake sales. That's not something
government
does. I
remember being in elementary school, sales tax was the first kind of tax
there
that I was aware of,
sure.
Because that's the one that you actually do have to pay if you're 7 years old and you buy something.
Correct,
right?
You do.
Yeah.
Utilities tax, some of them usually know about utility taxes, which are a different beast in themselves because those get funneled to the state and then comes back in Powell bill money. And, you know, all these transfers happen. Had the first one ask, how much money is our budget? So I thought that was interesting. Never had one ask, and it's about $65 million. It's more with all the transit and the pass-throughs that we cooperate together with, but that's a problem. That's sort of our budget line.
All right.
So it's always interesting. And we always have someone play the attorney, and someone play the manager, and someone play the clerk, and we explain what that is. So it's a lot of fun to watch them learn how their government works.
Awesome. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, so quickly back to the town council meeting last night. Discussion right at the very end of the agenda about the future of the Varsity
Yay!
Theater.
Yay! Yay.
How did that go?
It went well. I'm excited. Yeah. It's a task force to explore if this is a good fit for Chapel. We had reached out to the owners a while back to see if they'd have any interest in selling, but explained that we are the town, we move slowly, and we have to really work on this. They have an interest. They want to see it stay as a theater of some sort, a performing venue.
So are they planning on selling it anyway?
And they have a vested interest in it being kept because it's a historical building and it's been in their family for a while. And so they're interested to see what we come back with. And we've put a group of people together across different spectrums of art and culture and just downtown and an architect. And we tried to bring some folks, and Councilmember Shavitz and Parker will be leading this. They're to come back in late spring with recommendations. We were going to call it the Could We, Should We, but it's to exploration.
If you can come up with a way that's an acronym for something.
I am really bad at creative names for task force, but we get really good work done with our task force.
That works, yeah.
Yes. The council blessed that. The council did ask that we add a young person on there. We thought we had met that category, but they wanted even younger, so we'll be working on that as well.
Okay. So what are they going to be looking at? Just like the logistics, economics, and what might be done?
It's a more formal way to bring back information, what the building currently is valued at, what kind of repair work it would need to bring it into a performance level, because it's right now it's a movie theater. Mm-hmm. But in order to be a performance venue and show movies and let the church use it to bring a full stage out would require some work. It hasn't had much renovation done to it over the past 30, 40 years, so there's some stuff to do there. And then other small towns and other bigger towns, too, have had the same kind of thing that they have done, where they have taken the downtown movie theater and turned it into a performance venue and had great success. So to look at a couple of those models, see what they did. Most of them, actually, the towns bought them, but they fundraised with a friends group to backfill and had people put their name on a wall of fame the seats or some kind of way to do this. And then they'll be exploring with what kind of partnerships might be out there to run a performance venue, because towns don't really run performance venues. So, like I said, I've been to so many conferences where this has been a big plus. To bring people downtown, you need things like performing venues. The world's changed now, and people want to have reasons to come do things, performance, music performance, comedy performances, any of those kinds of things. So
I was speaking, last week we had the Orange County Economic Development Summit here a week and a day ago, and we had that section on the arts as an economic development driver, and Katie Murray was here and a couple of other folks, and they were so excited about how much of a role the arts plays in the economy and driving the economy in Orange County, and they kept saying the same thing: we need more space.
Murray will be part of this task force.
Yeah, yeah.
Laurie
Palatelli
from the Visitors Bureau, and our Susan Brown or somebody we've appointed will also be involved, so we have some staff input as well. Yep. We actually have people who have done this before who are part of the task force in other communities to see what we can learn. We're to put all that information together, and the task force will report back to council, and the council will make a decision whether it wants to pursue this, if it sounds like it's a good working situation that would make sense. So we will look at that. There is parking right behind the Varsity Theater. Mm-hmm. It would hold at the estimate, and this could change, if changing it to performance venue, bringing a full stage, would still leave seating capacity a little over 300.
Okay.
310 to 320 is the guesstimate. That's a good size performance venue.
And I know, having been on the stage that they have now doing comedy there,
fall off. It's kind of
you
narrow.
Might, but it's actually not a bad stage theater. That's, there's already some infrastructure there.
No,
it's got
great bones, as we say.
And we were just in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yes.
And Lawrence, Kansas, as great a downtown as they have, they had a Varsity, it was a literal Varsity Theater right downtown, same name, same marquee and everything, and it's an Urban Outfitters now because they let the theater close and it's not a performing arts space anymore.
But I saw this in Grand Rapids, I saw it in Burlington, Vermont, and Berkeley, all these places.
Durham has the Carolina Theater, right?
Yeah. Same kind of concept.
Yeah, yeah.
What can you do that makes sense to show our creative side? The lobby could even be revamped to show display art. So there's a visual art. So there's all kinds of things that could come together with this. So we're excited about checking out that opportunity.
Cool.
We heard from IFC on their Food First program, and they were coming to ask the town for their support. Currently, the community kitchen runs in our old town hall, and the pantry part is over on Main Street in Carrboro, and food IFC is looking to combine the two, make a much better facility to serve more folks and just make it more efficient for them as well and less confusing for the people trying to partake of all this. So it was really good to hear. We had former Mayor Kevin Foy and Robert Dowling from Community Home Trust, who were both on that board to help out, explain it to us. So that was really helpful too. And then we talked about, we have Halloween coming up next week, and we talked about coming to Franklin Street and being safe. So we said, we were talking about, please leave your alcohol and your weapons or things that look like weapons at home, so that we can make sure it's a family-friendly and welcoming event for everyone, and encourage people to take the bus, because it's going to be a little hard to park when coming in since the streets are blocked off.
A little hard, meaning virtually impossible.
Well, I don't know if it's impossible, but anyway, it can be a little tough.
I've done the Halloween thing. The parking rides are really cool.
They work really, really well, and then you don't have to worry about it at all.
Yep.
So that was good.
There you go.
Then we had the Homestead Road proposal for adult senior living apartments between the next to the senior center, but there's kind of a spot between that across there and the courtyards.
Okay.
And we had people from different neighborhoods along there talking about traffic, talking about connectivity, talking about density, those kinds of things. So we heard a lot. That's why we went pretty late. We wanted to accommodate people who wanted to come speak, and we had a lot of them, and we always do appreciate when people come and share their comments with us.
What were the comments?
They were worried about connectivity from something that was 190 units with cars connecting through a smaller neighborhood that's only 60 units, one-story houses, have narrow streets, and that most people, that's also an adult senior living community with people who have mobility issues, and they've shown studies of people who have numbers of people that have mobility issues and cars cutting through the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So that was their concern. Also visually, having a four-story building next to one and two-story residential, so because they're asking for a rezoning from R2 residential 2 to residential 5, and we were trying to learn what the other numbers were in between.
I was going
to
say,
so those mean units per acre, and we got, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to repeat them all because it was a late night and early morning, but 190 units at four stories was within the R5 range, but it could have been more. But, you know,
so like the higher the number, the higher the density?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's higher the number of units per acre.
Yep, yep.
So anyway, so we heard a lot from that. And then we were supposed to hear about a couple other things, affordable housing update that will come at a future meeting, because we're not meeting next week because it's Halloween. We don't want to have a council meeting on Halloween. That wouldn't be any fun for anybody.
So speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, townofchapelhill.org is the website. Meeting tonight at Town Hall at 5:15 to talk about the possibility of a drive-through
at the
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah,
right?
Come share your thoughts on that, or email us and let us know your thoughts on that as well. Yeah. And trying to think what else has been going on this week. We were at the Triangle Community Youth Volunteer Awards. There were several mayors and elected officials there on Tuesday night. Our youth in our communities do an amazing amount of volunteering. And as elected officials, we like to tell them that they're getting more out of it than they realize. We're getting a great benefit as people are connecting to their own community and helping. But over 55,000 hours of community service, which I know it's a far greater number. Those are the ones that reported through this program. And it's just wonderful to applaud young people getting involved in their own community, doing service. So that was really good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And are you going somewhere this afternoon? Is that what I hear?
Am I going somewhere?
Downtown Chapel Hill?
Yeah, there's a Batmobile. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe. All I know is that there's something happening later today. Like Blake Hodge was going to UNC for a separate thing and says, I'm going to have to be downtown.
We have the Batmobile, which is the Booze It and Lose It Mobile.
Yes,
trying to promote.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes, thank you.
I get to see all the fun mobiles we have. that's down on Franklin Street to help remind people to be safe at Halloween. Mm-hmm. Halloween is a wonderful time. People love to celebrate and dress up and sort of act in character, if that makes sense. I got to have my picture taken a couple days ago with a student in full Spider-Man gear. He was amazing, and it was fun. And I said, why are you dressed early? And he said, I like to remind people you can have fun with this, and you don't have to drink to have fun
with
this. That was really
cool.
That's
good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it was good. So
awesome.
We're looking forward to some happy Halloween. And tomorrow evening, I am helping judging pumpkins at the Botanical Gardens Botanical event.
Nice.
It's pumpkin carves by many different organizations, and then the kids carve pumpkins, and those are the ones we judge.
Have you done this before?
Yeah, last year, it was hysterical. It was wonderful. It was
what
nice
are the criteria for judging pumpkins?
So there were different categories, some of them that had used, some of them were the most creative, most use of natural flora and fauna.
Okay.
last year, I remember one, there was a pink one. She was some kind of character, and she was done up really well. And the kids vote with little stones and put in front to figure out. So the kids actually do the voting. We just announce the winners.
Gotcha.
I don't get to do the voting. So it's pretty good.
Do you just like sneak a stone into the one that you're that's your favorite just in case?
I get to confer with the other
Every
two judges.
Every vote counts.
And we all, the other two judges are like, oh, we really like that.
Yeah.
So it's really good.
Again, townofchapelhill.org for more information on Chapel Hill government. Halloween next week, Wednesday. So plan accordingly for that. Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.